Okay, so show of hands, how many of you have gotten your real ID already? Okay. Trust the people who managed to show up on time on Time Change Sunday to be pretty with it. Just wanted to make sure some of you understand the trials and tribulations. I had to get mine last year because I had to renew my driver's license anyway. And if you haven't gotten yours, allegedly by May 7th of this year, you'll need it to travel by plane. And man, it's a lot of fuss. It used to be when you renewed your license, you just had to bring in one piece of documentation to prove who you are, but instead I had to get all this paperwork to prove that I am who I say I am. And after all that, does the real ID look any different? No, it's a little gold star in the corner to show all the trouble that I went to. Now, we don't check IDs at the door here. You don't have to get your piece of paper out. And if you did, we would still only need one piece of paper for you to verify your identity in Christ. Just a baptismal certificate will do. This is not to say that there are not trials and tribulations that go with our Christian identity. They just often happen after we get our papers. I'm talking about identity because we've just spent all of Epiphany, or the season after Epiphany, meditating on Jesus' identity and the revelation of it in the three great epiphanic miracles. First one is the visit of the Magi, who show up to offer homage to the baby Christ. There's Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan, and then the Transfiguration, which we read last week, where Jesus is on top of the mountaintop and his whole appearance changes, and we see Moses and Elijah with them. The scriptures, however, this testing of Jesus happens right after his baptism, in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. So God declares that Jesus is God's son, the beloved. He's conferred with that messianic identity. And boom, he's led, or driven, as Mark says, by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days. So right after his identity as God's son is declared openly for the first time, kind of the beginning of his ministry, the evil one, the devil, essentially says, prove it. Prove that you are who you say that you are. And tempts Jesus with food, power, and safety. Which, here's the thing, those aren't bad things. Wanting them is actually pretty human. In fact, bread is something that Jesus uses in his ministry. Remember, he feeds thousands with bread and fish, loaves and fishes. He breaks bread with sinners and outcasts, and on the night before he died, he commands his disciples to break bread together in perpetuity and in his memory. The Eucharist that we will share together in just a few moments. Power is also a gift from God. And if the word power makes you sweat, think of the word influence instead. And yes, power is easily abused, but it's not bad in itself. It's the ability to get things done and to influence the behavior of others. Jesus will go on to use his power to organize people, to pull together a band of followers. And he continues to use his power to influence our behavior to this day. Jesus commands us to go out and make disciples of all nations, to win them over to him, but never by coercion, only by invitation. When it comes to safety, we know that at the last day, Jesus gives up his personal safety. That's actually the opportune time that the scripture says when the devil waits to come back to tempt him yet again. On the cross on Good Friday, Jesus is tempted to save himself, but of course, he rejects that as well. In the chapters between here and there, however, Jesus does keep himself safe. When he knows the time is not right, he flees the crowds when they press on him. He gets into boats to go elsewhere. And he directs his disciples to care for their own safety as well. The thing is, the easiest temptations to avoid are the ones that we know are bad. Big ones, right? Thou shalt not murder, all those stuff. Those are obvious. The more evil, the more insidious temptations are when the object we want is not bad in itself, but the way that we get there is what becomes the sin. What cost are we willing to pay to get the things that we want? The world, the evil one, if you want to personify it, the world seems to tell us that success is worth any price, that we should pursue bread, power, and safety with little thought to how that pursuit affects anyone else around us or our own mortal lives. The test, again, is not the bread itself, but the temptation to obtain the bread by bartering away our identity, the the identity that we are given in baptism as God's own. The world tempts us daily to stake our claim to who we are based on what the world tells us about ourselves and not what God tells us. And Jesus tells us time and time again by his word and by his example that yes, it matters where we end up, but it also matters how we get there. Again, what parts of ourselves are we willing to compromise? What blood and whose blood are we willing to shed? Will we give in to the ultimate temptation of the world to rely on ourselves alone and to pursue bread, power, and safety at no thought to the cost? Or will we listen to that still small voice of God that reminds us who we are, who we all are in God's economy? Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, and many bumper stickers and terrible pieces of art have echoed, that it's not the destination, it's the journey. And as sick as many of us are about hearing as Lent referred to as a journey, the thing is that metaphor persists because it's a really good one. It reminds us that a life of faith is not just Easter Sunday, right? A life of faith, well, you can ask anybody pictured in any of these windows around you. The saints will tell you, a life of faith involves many days in the wilderness. And most of these folks would actually say that 40 days is a comparatively light sentence. But these 40 days are what we have. And these 40 days, the prayer book says, are to be a time of self-examination and repentance, of prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and of reading and meditating on God's holy word. Some of us hear this invitation to Holy Lent and find something to give up. Others of us hear this invitation to a Holy Lent and think of things to take on. The gospel, however, that we read on Ash Wednesday cautions us that there are no gold stars handed out for flashy displays of piety. And today's gospel reminds us that it's not what we do or don't do, but why and how we do it and who we do it with that really matters. That's the stuff that matters. So I implore you, don't just give something up or do something else this year to get a gold star, or even because it's convenient or some other goal in your life. Give something up or take something on with the intention of letting you draw you closer to God, letting it affirm your identity as God's beloved. And let these 40 days be a time in which you practice discernment, testing where the spirits lead you or drive you, and where the evil one is tempting you away from the ground of your being. Never forget that the devil is a wily sort and can quote scripture like the rest of us. We remember, though, in these 40 days, that while the world constantly tests our faith, and the evil one will always question our identity and try to make us question our identity as God's beloved, we do not do this alone, but in and through Christ who makes it all possible. In and through Christ, who was tempted as we are, yet did not sin. In and through Christ, who means that we can resist the world's insistence that we pursue our own good at any cost and our own survival above all else. We do this in and through Christ, who makes it possible to proclaim a different narrative and to follow a different path. So get those traveling papers ready, people of God. We are headed out together on a journey. Amen.